And that brings us to 8:10. So it is time to keep it practical. We keep it practical with Practical Finance with Thane. Thane, good morning.
Morning, Wayne. Morning, listeners.
And a welcome on this Thursday.
Thank you.
Before we get into our whole practical finance thing, you know, keeping it practical, we've got to issue a disclaimer saying that anything we say from here going forward must not be believed.
No, Wayne, it is for information and entertainment purposes only.
Right, information and entertainment, the emphasis being on entertainment.
Okay, yes. And should you want to know more or apply this, you are most highly recommended to talk to your professional financial advisor or your legal advisor. But it's actually, you know, not such a good thing if you try and do things on your own when it comes to finance and law and things like that. You know?
So basically the bottom line is that the information that we're giving out here and the advice must be confirmed with your own financial advisor.
Correct.
Because he knows your personal situation.
There we go. You got it. Spot on.
Right.
Spot on.
And we're talking about wealth creation.
Yeah, but let's talk about Prince. So
Purple Rain, yes.
Yes. So if you hear this guy's a prince, immediately think, wow, he must be wealthy.
Yeah.
So, Wayne, what is your definition of wealth?
Well, I would say I'm not a prince. I'm a king.
Okay.
Of one of the royal households that's financed by the government. No, on a serious note, wealth, it's probably relative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say it would be relative. If you are...
I'm not talking about wealthy relatives, Wayne.
I'm talking about your individual thinking of what wealth is.
No, I'm kidding.
It's relative to maybe what you consider to be necessary. I would say that you're wealthy if you've got more than what you need to sustain your particular lifestyle, possibly, and to look after yourself into maintaining that into your retirement. Where you've got enough, obviously it's nice to have lots more, but I'm being practical because that's what we're doing.
Yes.
So I would say you are wealthy enough to maintain, but obviously there are very specific definitions.
For sure, because how much is enough?
Yes,
is clearly,
yes.
I think so. Wealth is a very relative term, 100% spot on what you perceive as being wealthy or what you perceive as being an amount of wealth is relative to your own situation, you know. So, I mean, I have seen very wealthy people. I know of very wealthy people. And I know people that actually are nowhere near having the same amount of rands and cents, but still live a wonderful life as wealthy people. So it's not always about money. I think you hit the nail spot on there. And it's about being sufficient and not being reliant on other people. If you want, so because it's so relative, there's no real definition, I would suspect, that's going to make you tick the boxes to say, well, I've reached the stage of I'm wealthy, you know. But one thing I do know, that if you owe more people than the value of the assets that you own, then you can't be wealthy.
You're not wealthy. No. Then you have a problem.
So that actually reminds me, this is World's Week in South Africa at the moment.
Indeed.
And maybe what we'll do next time is chat about how to transfer this wealth that you've created, or how do you leave a legacy one day when you pass away and we all have to cross over that rainbow bridge. But anyway, so for today, about wealth. So for me, it's about doing that very, very first calculation we spoke about. Can you remember that
budgets?
One? Before the budget, the net asset value.
Yes. What have I got?
And what have you got and what do you owe? You know, so very often a lot of us have got a lot of material stuff, you know, and I've been in meetings where one of the people arrive in this fancy motor vehicle, and the immediate reaction of those around us is say, wow, he must be wealthy.
He's arrived.
He's got this really top of the range car. You know that one with the circle and the star in the middle?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then you have the discussion with him, and eventually you get to the point where you say, okay, well, if we're going to proceed further, you have to tell us what your balance sheet looks like. In other words, what your net asset value looks like. And quite often, Wayne,
it's the opposite.
That car is actually creating a negative situation. So in other words, he owes more money or she owes more money than she actually owns in assets. So be very careful about the perceptions of wealth, you know. I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she was saying exactly the same thing. You know, wow, we thought these people were very wealthy. But when we had discussions with them, we realized that maybe they're not so wealthy. So what we would like to do in the next series is to just chat to our listeners and get some basic fundamentals down of creating some wealth and maybe preserving it and then, of course, transferring it. So those are the three things we want to do in the next few weeks. So how do you create wealth? Well, if you missed the first podcast, well, it might be a good idea to go back and listen. But for now, make a list of all the things that you own. Make a list of all the debts that you have. And you subtract the debts from the value of what you have. And then you've got a starting point. So if that figure is 100, for example, it may be 100 million. It may be 100,000. It may be 100 rand. We don't mind, but at least you've got a starting point. And the way you move forward is to try and build that 100 rand. Now, of course, it's no point in just building it to keep track of inflation, because next year that 100 rand, if you believe inflation is 6%, then it should be 106 rand. So if you built that 100 rand up to 106 rand, you actually haven't created wealth.
You've broken even.
You've broken even.
Yeah.
And very often when I see business owners financial statements, and I see the income has increased, and it's increased by the rate of inflation, I wonder, well, you know what, that actually is not growth, you know. But obviously, you've got to look at the bottom line and see how they've increased the bottom line.
What's been happening in the area at the time. You know, if you're talking businesses, just looking at load shedding, for instance, which is just adding a whole lot of unnecessary costs onto keeping the business running.
No, you're not creating wealth. You're actually creating the ability to survive, you know, because let's be honest, if you buy a 1,000 rand unit trust or a share, over 10 years, you're hoping that that 1,000 rand will grow into wealth.
Yeah.
But if you go and buy, you don't get them now, but if you were to go buy a 1,000 rand solar panel, you can be sure that's not going up in value. It's going down in value. So you spot on. The current economy is not conducive to creating wealth. We actually have to survive in order to create wealth. So we've got that extra step that the small business owner has to go through.
Jump through.
And you know that hoop, and you got me on a bit of a tangent now, but the small businesses are really taking the brunt of what's going on. You know, we as individuals, we moan and we complain, but sometimes we actually can make it. But what does the small business owner do? He's got to pay salaries. He's got to pay electricity when it's there. And even if it's not there, he has to pay.
You're paying for petrol.
Correct, yeah. So wealth creation is a definite mindset. It's an exercise. And the first exercise is, as far as possible, is to increase that net value. In other words, have more than what you actually owe. And because we're drowning as South Africans, and in fact all over the world, people are drowning in debt. I always like to focus on the debt aspect. So because if you reduce your debt and you do nothing else, technically you're getting wealthier.
You are improving the situation because it's all a balance.
Correct. Yeah. So, and again, it's about what you do with what you earn, you know. So so the first thing I look at when I look at a client's portfolio is to see how much debt he has. Because over a short term, and let's take a short term as being a year or two, I don't think there's an investment over the short term that's going to guarantee you the rate that of interest that you're paying on your credit card debt. So let me give you an example. So if I've got 100 rand and I invest it in a unit trust or a share or any other financial instrument, and it's only for 1 year, you may get more than the credit card interest that you're being charged. So I think at the moment that rate is about 18%. So if I took that same 100 Rand and I just added it to my credit card, my actual return is 18%.
Yes.
Because now I'm not paying the 18%. So when you're looking to invest, that's one of the first things I ever look at it. What is the situation with the debt?
Yeah, it's just pay off the debt.
Correct. But, and we may want to spend a bit of time on this, I believe you get three kinds of debt. You get good debt.
Yeah.
Bad debt. And neutral debt. So what's a good debt? Well, I think your bond on your house is a good debt. If you're going to buy a computer to, in order to generate business or to generate income, to me that's a is a neutral debt, because it's a debt that you need to have in order to survive. But if you're going to go buy that fancy leather lounge suite from your favorite uncle in the furniture store,
then you're making bad debt.
You're making seriously bad debt, because it might be comfortable to sit on, but you try and sell that 6 months later, you're not going to even get half of what you've paid for it, and you still owe probably 24 months of installments plus admin fees, which will take your debt, I want to guess, to over 20%.
Yeah. That's so why your uncle in that furniture business is actually so wealthy.
Correct. Yes. And why he can invest his money on the stock market. So I think from a debt perspective, it's not really wise, and again, speak to your financial professional, just to attack any debt.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing I ask the question is, okay, we've got a list of all these debts now. Which of the debts that you have is tax deductible? Which of the interest on that debt is tax deductible? Because you don't want to mess with your tax planning. So if you're getting, if you've got an overdraft, for example, in your personal name that you use for your private means, and you've got a business overdraft in your business name, the debt you attack first would be your private overdraft, not your business overdraft, because the overdraft interest is tax deductible for the business. So that's the first question I would be asking when I'm looking at the portfolio, is which of this debt is tax deductible? Once I've got that answer, then it can help me with the next question, which is the shortest outstanding term. So you may have a debt that's still got 6 years to go. You might have one that's got 1 year to go, and you might have one that's got 3 years to go. So once you've got those three, I know from a financial perspective, people say, well, you always attack the debt with the highest interest rate, which is technically correct. But we're people. And as we've said on this show often, it's not always about the money only. It's about the person. It's about the individual. And I know, because I know my clients, that there are certain individuals that as soon as I give them that goal to attack the longest term, highest debt, they're not going to do it because there's no incentive to do it.
It's sort of, we want to knock down the little ones.
Correct. Now, you're spot on. So I go for the shortest debt. You know, that's maybe got like a year to go. And if there are maybe two of them, then I will choose the one with the highest interest rate. But what you're doing by attacking that first lowest debt, and let's say you put the extra 100 Rand into that debt, what happens is you actually incentivize yourself. At the end of the month, when you get that statement, you see, oh, I'm in credit. You know, I'm now overpaid. Yeah. It actually incentivizes you to carry on and put maybe more in. And what happens is you maybe reduce that 12-month debt down to, say, 9 months. But here comes the trick. Once you've finished off that debt, you don't have spare money now. What you do is you take that 100 Rand that you were paying on the first debt,
and you put it,
and the installment of that debt. So now you've got maybe 200 Rand. Then you attack the next debt.
Right.
So now instead of paying 100 Rand on that next debt, you're paying 300 Rand. And guess what?
That one's going to come down.
That one's going to come down very quickly. And after that year is gone, now all of a sudden you may have, for example, 500 Rand worth of extra or less debt. So you take that 500 Rand and you attack the next debt. Wayne, it is absolutely mind-boggling, the power of compound interest. and how you are able to reduce your debt with just that little bit of discipline, you know.
I was going to say there's a compounding factor that's involved there as well to a certain extent, because you've finished, you've still got that money available every month, so you're just adding it to the next account.
Correct. So we did a seminar once, and the woman came to me afterwards, and she says the husband and herself did the exact what I've just mentioned now. And after 6 months, they were so excited that they went and bought another car.
Oh, boy.
I mean, that doesn't work. No, that's not the point.
A little bit counterproductive. Yes. That's not what you were...
Yeah, so they may have saved on the... They created that bit of wealth, but immediately, as soon as life became comfortable because of the lack of debt, they just wiped that whole benefit out.
Well, unless, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe that car was being used for business purposes. It was maybe good debt.
Yeah, it was that car with a circle and a star in it.
No, that was for vanity
reasons. And
that's
such a good car, but you know, it can mess up your cash flow. That's the story for another day. But yeah, so I think the important lesson for today would be create wealth is doable. You know, it just takes that bit of discipline. Yeah. And the way I would like to suggest you have a chat to your advisor, but have a look at the debt, you know, because quite honestly, over a year or two, the interest rate of 18% on a credit card is never going to be guaranteed in the investment world.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. And if it is, if you've been offered 18% over 1 year,
it's a little bit scary. Because I wouldn't be correct in saying that I'm investing in an overseas holiday using my credit card.
So there's a huge difference between investing and spending, you know. So,
yeah.
And I mean, that applies to your house. So I have a client that asked the other day, yeah, I'm spending the money on my house. Because I want to put on, let's say it was a new bathroom. So I said, no, you're not spending the money on your house. That is an investment in your house. Spending money on your house would be, I've now gone and bought myself a brand new lounge suite. You know, so be careful. There is a difference between investing and spending.
And so even the term investing in yourself, that's pushing the...
No, on the contrary.
Okay.
On the contrary.
I like this man. So there goes the overseas holiday back again, back on the table.
No, you're halfway there. So I love that. I've got a little talk that I call the 7 financial lies we like to believe, you know. And one of the lies is that in order to create wealth, you have to invest in property and equity and shares and unit trusts and all those things. But there's one very, very fantastic investment that you have. And in fact, it's so good, you pay no tax on it. And that's creating an investment in yourself. So buy yourself that book, that self-help book. But invest in a course that will help you broaden your education, invest in time, and go and sit in the library if you can't afford the book, and go and read the book on how to install a jacuzzi. So Wayne, that is such a good point. Invest in yourself. Absolutely. Because by creating that additional knowledge, that additional expansion of experiences, you will have the ability to create increased finances, increased wealth, blah, blah, blah. But 100% spot on. But investing in yourself is not investing on our overseas holiday.
So the Mauritius trip's out of the question.
Again.
Well, but definitely, as you say, investing in yourself in terms of maybe a course or
a diploma, certificate,
something that you could use to generate a bit of income later, possibly.
Correct. And it doesn't have to be a fancy, expensive course. I mean, you know, if you love woodwork, buy yourself a book on creating wooden toys and go and sell it at the flea market. You know, so it's about. I think we all forget that, and I'm not talking about fancy degrees, and it's just invest sort of in yourself,
bread and butter stuff that you can just improve. Yeah. Home industries, getting involved in home industries.
There you go. You know, there you go. Stuff like that. You know, and of course it talks to our previous discussion on creating additional income as well,
which these days we need to do that. Mm. It looks like, unfortunately, we've run out of time, and there's so much to talk about when we're keeping it practical. But Thane, first of all, just to remind our listeners that this will be on a podcast later.
Yes.
But if somebody wants to reach you, how do they get in touch with you if they maybe haven't got a financial advisor?
Thank you, Wayne. Yeah, no, so we're available on 043-727-1340. But you're more than welcome to pop me an email at info@verso, that's verso.co.za, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Great. Well, that sounds great. And as I say, the podcast will be on our website, wildcoastradio.co.za, later today. Thane, thank you very much. Until next week.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.
Cheerio then.